Tonight's episode of Rob is a Podcast is sponsored by Wix.com. Because if you need a website, why not do it yourself with Wix.com? If you need to get the word out about your business, it all starts with a stunning website. No matter what business you're in, Wix has something for you because Wix.com is used by more than 75 million people throughout the world. Wix empowers business owners to create their own professional websites. You could do it easy yourself. You don't need to be a programmer or a designer. Here's how. With easy drag and drop features, there's hundreds of designer-made customizable templates to choose from, and you can even add a video background with no coding needed. It's easier than learning a choreographed dance in Georgia. You can even get your website live today. It's free. Just go to Wix.com and sign up for an entirely free account today with no credit card required. It's easy and the result is stunning. So go ahead and visit Wix.com today. That's Wix.com today. Coming to you live from my apartment, it's Rob Has a Podcast. And now, here's a man who never accidentally takes another man's bag. I am Rob Sestrino, and hello, everybody. Welcome to our Amazing Race 28, Episode 7 Recap. Happy to have you guys here live with us to talk about what went on in the Amazing Race. We've got Georgia on our mind, and here with me to talk about it all is our chief RHAP Amazing Race correspondent, the great Jessica Leese. Jessica, how are you?
I'm great, Rob.
Yes. Jessica, I hope you weren't in search of a handsome man tonight at the Met.
There was just Phil. And you know he defies description.
Yes. All right. Well, it was certainly an exciting ending to this week's episode. Bag gate, Jess. A lot to break down here with Scott and Blair.
I disagree. I don't think there's that much to break down.
Oh, yes, there's a lot to break down.
And we are our top story for the evening?
Yeah, baggate. Baggate.
One guy picked up a bag and then he brought it back and apologized.
Yeah, we got to talk that through and figure out everything else that happened in terms of switching detours. And then also the decision for Blair and Scott to have Scott do the roadblock here. We'll find out about that and much, much more as we take your questions. Hashtag RHAP. And then on our YouTube channel at robiswebsite.com/YouTube. Jess, how you doing?
I'm doing all right.
Okay. All right. We're hanging in there. Amazing Race 28, past the halfway mark in the back half of Amazing Race 20. Down to what? Six teams now after tonight, Jess?
It feels like there's still like 23 teams left.
Yeah.
Like, I cannot believe how many people are still in this race.
Yeah. There's still six teams left. And it was a team tonight that went home that was undrafted. Mike Bloom's entry in the Amazing Race Fantasy Draft goes home.
Yep. Mike is totally out of it now. There's no way he can win the take home any more points.
He's out of the running. And I believe we just said we're down to 3-3 in terms of a very evenly matched fantasy draft that we had to start off the season.
Yeah, it's really convenient of them to go out in that order so that we have pretty balanced teams going into this final six.
Yeah. All right. So here we are, and we have our Amazing Race exit interview back. First Amazing Race exit interview that we've done in about a month since I talked to Team Clever back in March, I believe. So we're going to have Scott and Blair with us on Monday, and we'll get that up to you guys very shortly thereafter on our Amazing Race exit interview. And then we got the home stretch coming on the Amazing Race 20. All right, Jess, bag gate. So let's talk this through. So it did Baggate cost Scott and Blair their life in the race?
It kind of looks like it. And that was all down to team communication.
Yeah. So that what did Scott? So she picked up Scott's bag. And I thought that was like, boy, Blair's being a little cocky here of like, I'm so confident my dad is going to get it here in this spot. I'm not going to only pick up my bag. I'm going to pick up his bag as well. So she's holding two bags. And then Scott comes down and is like, oh, great, I need my bag. And so he just picks up any bag that he sees, which is Tyler's bag. And then they make a beeline for it.
Yeah, that looks like exactly what happened. I think this is not something we've seen them be in the habit of doing. So I think it was kind of Scott didn't even look up to see how many bags Blair was holding. And she didn't say, Daddy, I've got your bag.
Mm-hmm.
So he just grabbed the bag that looked like his He was probably in a hurry. He was probably very tired.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that wasn't an easy dance to do, and he had to do it 6 times.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking it was, you know, it was a very honest mistake, and they corrected it almost immediately, but it looks like if they had not done that, they would have had at least a, like, 30-second lead. And it wouldn't have been down to a sprint.
See, I feel like that it had to have been longer than 30 seconds because I don't think that you could be dancing simultaneously because all those other people were involved in the operation. So it's not like, and maybe maybe there were multiple stages in the mix here, but I kind of feel like that at the point, even if Corey got it on the very next try from when Scott had got it, don't the other dancers have to reset and sort of all go together?
Yeah, I guess so. It probably was more like a couple of minutes.
Yeah, so I think that that's enough that there really would have been the difference between Tyler and Corey ultimately staying in the race and Scott and Blair going out at this point. Now, for Scott and Blair, what's the rule here? Because now, is there a penalty that they just touched another team's bag? Like, hypothetically, if they would have gotten to the mat and with the bag or with the, you know, whether they brought Tyler's bag to the mat, whether they just like took Tyler's bag and chucked it in a dumpster somewhere and they just went on about their business, what was the penalty going to be for them?
Well, the penalty kicks in when you don't put the bag back exactly where you found it. And mm-hmm. We saw this happen in season 18 in Japan, when the Globetrotters accidentally picked up Ron and Christina's fanny packs, and they got down to the bottom of this hill after they finished their task, and they realized, oh, we've got the wrong bags. So they just left them not exactly where they found them, which caused Ron and Christina to have to hunt for them, which caused them to lose time. And I think the idea is if you're causing another team to lose time, then you could be assessed a penalty. But if you correct the mistake and put the bags exactly back where you found them, then you don't incur a penalty.
Now, what was the difference between this and going back to the blind date edition of the Amazing Race? I believe Amazing Race 26, when we had Big Brother greats Jeff and Jackie. They pulled up in a car and found Tyler's fanny pack or Tyler's bag was in the car. And they supposedly hid it under one of the seats and then made it kind of difficult for Tyler and Laura to find when they got back to that. Is that any sort of penalty also, or is that a very gray area when we talk about bag gates?
That's kind of a gray area because technically the bag was still in the car.
Mm-hmm.
And they didn't move it. They didn't put it not in the car.
Yeah.
So I think for the purposes of the exercise, it was like, the bag isn't, you know, they didn't touch it themselves. They didn't like move it someplace shady. It's a little bit of a gray area, but I don't believe they would have incurred a penalty.
How does this compare to the other infamous bag gate that we've podcasted about? I believe it was Amazing Race 23 and the entrance of Providence Amy into our Amazing Race lexicon.
Well, that was different because Tim and Marie didn't touch those bags themselves.
They
got someone else to do it for them.
Yeah.
So in that case, if you don't lay a hand on it, it's not your fault, apparently.
So let's talk about the, like, in the real of the moment, like, what's happening? Is it sort of like, do Scott and Blair realize, oh, we have Tyler's bag? Or is there just like is Tyler just like, hey, my bag is gone. My bag is gone. And are just does anybody have the other bag? They may have eyes on the other bag. And is there a producer sort of like, yelling at Scott and Blair, like, hey, you got to go bring that bag back. You got to go do that.
No, I think in that case, they are on their own to realize their own mistake.
So how bad would the penalty have been?
It probably would have been at least 30 minutes.
30 minutes. I mean, would they have been better served just to like go to the finish mat and then ultimately just take their chance with the penalty rather than go into a flat?
They definitely did not have 30 minutes on Tyler and Corey.
But I mean, I almost feel like you might have been better off at that point than to be in a flat-footed tie than just to go back and start over with them. I mean, basically, don't you have a 50-50 shot at that point?
Well, you have to think about it like you're tacking 30 minutes onto your time.
Mm-hmm.
And it would probably, provided like Tyler and Corey spend more than 30 minutes looking for the bag, then I think in previous seasons of The Race, if you gained time by doing something illegal, you would be assessed a penalty equal to the amount of time you gained. And I think in this case, it might be you caused them to lose this much more time, so this is how much more time you have to wait. I think they were pretty much, unless Tyler and Corey did something really monumentally stupid between the end of the task and the pit stop, there was no way that, you know, Blair and Scott were going to land on the mat and take their penalty and be done with their penalty by the time Tyler and Corey arrived.
Okay. So in terms of where we had Blair and Scott get to this challenge, it did take Scott 6 tries. And God bless Scott, because, you know, I'd still be there if I was trying to do this this task, this roadblock. But did you find it curious that it wasn't Blair that attempted to do this?
I did find it a little curious. I mean, they are pretty even on roadblocks. They wound up with Scott doing 4 to Blair doing 3, according to Wikipedia. And I can't remember off the top of my head, like, who did what when, but I'll take their word for it. It did seem kind of odd to me. And I don't know. There must have been something going on behind the scenes. Like, maybe Blair's just not a dancer.
Mm-hmm. But, I mean, Scott, they said he dances at weddings, but it wasn't like he was, like, a prolific dancer either.
No, but it could even be something like, you know, how many people do we talk to after the season who say, oh, yeah, I was running the race on 2 broken legs and a dislocated shoulder? Like, it's possible Blair had like some kind of bone spur or something that was keeping her from being as fleet of foot as she wanted to be. And she thought maybe they'd better take their chances by having her dad do the task.
Yeah, what you didn't see was I had 2 torn ACLs during the race, and then exactly. I had the cartilage in my knee was coming out through my through the joint. I had staph infections all over my body. Yeah, we've heard them all before.
Yeah, well, you better make sure you ask them this on Monday when you talk to them.
That will be one of my top questions after we get through all of Baggate. And so I did think that was pretty interesting that it did take Scott 6 tries, but he did by the end of it. He looked pretty good. For Corey, though, the hashtag choreography, which I think one of the strongest hashtags perhaps in the history of CBS reality. I really game respects game. And that was one hell of a hashtag, Jess.
Yeah, that was pretty great. I'm a little disappointed we didn't get Dip My Nuts, but
always disappointed when we don't get that. But yeah,
we got a little bit of time until we can dip our nuts.
Yeah, we had a lot of that going on, and also a lot of
we've been waiting to dip our nuts for 7 legs.
Good. Yeah, so Corey ends up doing this task, and I thought that he was going to blow through it, but he actually did have a lot of trouble with that as well.
Yeah, he was, well, I don't think either one of them is exactly like, you know, former Laker girl. They're yeah. good at many, many things, clearly.
Yeah.
But, you know, dancing is not on the resume. And, you know, you say this every season, Rob. This is the point that you like to harp on.
Yeah.
You yourself say the task that's going to trip everybody up that thinks they're so great at racing and everything mm-hmm. else, they're going to run into a choreographed dance number and they're not going to be able to do it.
Yeah. And really, and the team that I thought was probably going to suffer the most from this would probably have been the Frisbee Bros. I would have said, oh, Brody and Kurt, they're really screwed. And it turned out that Kurt is like a certified salsa dancer.
You know, Kurt has hidden depths.
Who knew? Who knew? Yeah. Really?
I don't know.
I mean, that was out of nowhere. I mean, you wondered why, like, hey, bro, Brody, he's got a big social media following. Why is he picking this guy, Kurt? And it's like, oh, let me pick my friend who's like an undercover salsa dancer.
Yeah, I mean, there's a couple of reasons you pick Kurt. Like, for one thing, Kurt's in a relationship already. He's not going to be competition for your girls. And he's also going to be an epic wingman, which we've seen. And he knows how to dance.
Yeah.
Like, Kurt pulls his weight. I think Kurt's like the MVP of that team.
Well, Jess, at this hour, are you deeply saddened about the loss of one half of Bloaty from the show?
You know, I think their relationship will survive. And honestly, it's probably better for the relationship in the long term that they're not going to be competing with each other forever.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, what would have happened if Blair and Scott had outlasted Kurt and Brody? Do you think the relationship could survive that kind of blow to Brody's self-esteem.
Why? Do you think that Brody is insecure that he couldn't date somebody who did better than him on The Amazing Race? Is it like Survivor, where if you don't make the jury, you're undateable? What's the Amazing Race equivalent of making the jury or the merge?
I'm not sure. I think, well, we are at the halfway point. Mm-hmm. They made it just past, like, this would be the merge, basically. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
We're at 12. We started with 22. So
I don't think Amazing Racers are that shallow in terms of it didn't make the merge, undateable.
No, but we also have a smaller sample size to compare it to.
Yeah. I think that if you were on the show, you're in the club, I think.
Yeah, unless you were first out.
First out is no good.
First out is out.
So somebody wouldn't date Misa and Maya?
Actually, people would probably date Misa and Maya.
I think so.
Like, it's just like on Survivor. If you're a cute girl,
yeah,
you're dateable no matter what.
Oh, so if you're like two guys that are first off, I feel like that's rare. Are there many seasons where we have two guys that are first people off?
It's happened a few times. It's happened since we've covered this show.
I got to think about that. It didn't happen this season, right?
No. South Carolina guys in season 22.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's a way back.
That is way back, but it happens.
It happens. All right. So then, Jess, I want to talk about Tyler and Corey, because I'm really concerned about my number one draft picks, Tyler and Corey, because you know what? Last week I said, it's a fluke. That's a fluke that everybody has a bad week. It's sort of like, whatever. I'm not too worried about it. But now this is, second week in a row. We're in like the Darius and Cameron territory here, where I am worried about Tyler and Corey for the second week in a row, potentially circling the drain here on The Amazing Race, where I feel like you start flirting with week after week being in that next to last place spot. I feel like it's sort of like Final Destination. You keep cheating death and you think you can cheat death. You can't cheat death, Jess. The Grim Reaper is waiting for you and he works in mysterious ways.
It's true. Like, you go into the shower and like, you accidentally drop your radio and it sets off the Rube Goldberg machine that ends with you killing yourself with dental floss.
Yes.
That's how it works.
Yeah. So I'm worried. I am very worried for Tyler and Corey.
You know, I think you have every right to be. Tyler and Corey started out as really great racers. They had like this kind of, they had this like green team upside where they were just kind of killing it. And everybody looked at them as the team to beat, but they had a couple of blind spots that they didn't hit until now. And they were very lucky, I think, in that regard.
Can they pull out of the nosedive? Can they get the nose back up?
Yeah, I think they can. I think that the good thing about the way that this race course has been designed is they seem to reset it at the beginning of every leg.
Yeah. I mean, Tyler and Corey, they were in next to last place last weekend. I feel like that they were in first at one point in the beginning of this race.
Yeah, they definitely were. Yeah. So they need to just hit a couple of tasks that are a little more in their comfort zone and they'll be fine.
Okay. All right. Hopefully they can get back to a little bit of magic. How about Zach and Rachel, a first place finish? Nobody saw that coming, right?
Oh, I was so mad because for a second there, like I saw Bernie and Ashley finally like emerging with the potential that I knew they had.
Yeah.
And I was like, I'm going to get a win. I'm going to pull ahead. It's going to be great. And then at the very last minute, Zach and Rachel, the team that I forget is there every week.
Hey. Don't sleep on Zach and Rachel.
Like they magically disappear just like they're in one of his videos.
They didn't even really have a great week, to be honest. Like they really
it looked like Zach was having so much trouble with that dance. He was covered in sweat and
yeah, like Ashley really just nailed it. Zach was like really struggling. And then all of a sudden, Rooster Teeth just got a bad cab ride. And then how about that? First place for Zach and Rachel.
I don't like it. I mean, I'm sure Zach and Rachel, like, I'm happy for them and all, but I don't like it.
All right. I want to talk about some of the detour switching we saw going on tonight, because it did seem like we had Dana and Matt really just like all over the place. And but for the grace of Dana's dancing, which really saved them this week and got them to a decent finish this week, they were sort of all over the place. Jess, could you speak to sort of like the back and forth they did with the detour tonight?
Well, what it looked like was that the detours, you frequently see this where the detours are kind of imbalanced, but they try to balance it out by like making one detour harder to get to. And I think that was the case here. Like, the candy task was very difficult, but everyone knew where it was.
Mm-hmm.
And you figure, oh, making candy, that sounds like it's going to be more fun. And if you don't know for sure which one's going to be harder, just choose the one that sounds more fun, right?
Yeah.
So that was everybody's first impulse. We'll go to the one, we know where it is, and it'll be fun. We can make candy. They might even let us eat it. Cool. So the problem that with that is you look at the clue and it says you can only have like 5 people doing the candy at a time. You got to know that the other one's harder to get to, or maybe like way less fun, way harder to do. So I would almost have the impulse that Sherry and Cole did, like just go to the other task right away so you don't have to wait and you don't have to worry about other teams being in front of you. And I think this is what happened here, is that the vineyard was way out of town. It was hard to find. And Sherry and Cole looked out where the guy knew exactly how to get there, but that wasn't the case for Dana and Matt. And they drive and drive and drive for half an hour. They don't know how far away it is. They don't know if they're even going the right direction. They realize at some point that they could totally screw themselves and not even get to the place where they get to clean out the wine barrels. So they come back, but it turns out the candy making is really hard. So at that point, they also know that Tyler and Corey haven't finished their detour. At that point, it's not a bad gamble to just go with Tyler and Corey and see if you can beat them, because you have a whole other task in front of you.
So I did think it was weird though that they got there and Tyler and Corey were like, oh, this task is hard. And they're like, okay, well, quick, let's get out of here and let's go back. They just reversed course.
They did, but they also, you know, what happens now? What if Tyler and Corey are the last place team right now?
Mm-hmm.
And Dana and Matt go in and start making the candy. Tyler and Corey go to the wine barrels, finish it fast. Dana and Matt are now definitely in last place. At this point, you have another team in your sights. You might as well keep that team in your sights, because then you know you're not totally last and you're not out there all by yourself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The candy making task, like, I was struggling to really see what was the challenge there. It was just that it was hard to get the needle through the hazelnuts.
Hazelnuts are tough, Rob. And I think, yeah, it was a lot of, like, you needed to brute force those hazelnuts onto the strings. There were a lot of them. You had to do like 100 of them.
Yeah.
And then there's a trick to the dipping. You had to make sure that the dip coated the nuts in the right shape and kind of cradled the tip.
We got a little bit of time until we can dip our nuts.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, all right. Enough said. Yeah, we got.
It seemed very hung up on the tip.
Yes. And yeah, if you watch out, you don't want to get, people were getting bloody fingers. It was terrible. Okay. So then, Jess, which teams, impressed you tonight that we haven't talked about?
Well, I kept waiting. Like, I was waiting to see the onslaught of tweets as soon as Dana and Matt showed up to the dancing task. And Dana said, oh, I can't wait. I've missed dancing so much. I was waiting for the onslaught of tweets, people saying, oh, she's going to 5-hole it. But she, like, reverse 5-holed it.
Yeah.
Because she was amazing. I don't even know if she practiced that. I think she watched it once and then just did it.
Yeah, they really knocked it out of the park. And Phil's like, oh, word on the street, Dana, was that you did a really great job at the dancing.
So he was talking to Jeff Probst's people on the street.
Yeah. Boy, Phil is hearing all the good gossip. Is that how he heard about Bloaty?
Yeah, probably. It's those people on the street. I thought Rooster Teeth impressed me right up to the point where their cab driver sucked.
Yeah, no, they had a strong week. I mean, and they've really been like right there. I mean, if there's anybody who's sort of in that reporter's sort of mold of where they're just like right there, second place, right there. You know, don't be surprised if Rooster Teeth wins this season.
I will not. I'll be excited because I will have won.
Don't sleep on them. You know, we haven't done the power rankings in a while. Do you want to update those?
Yeah, I'm going to start off my power rankings with the caveat that it is very, very hard to do power rankings on a show that ranks their teams at the end of every episode.
Yeah, but would you say that Zach and Rachel are number one in the power rankings, even though they came in first this week?
I'd put them around like number 4.
Okay, so who is number one in the power rankings? I kind of feel like at this point, I feel like it's got to be between Rooster Teeth or the Frisbee Bros.
Yeah, I would think so. I would put the Frisbee Bros on top because they still haven't screwed up big.
Yeah, but what's been Rooster Teeth's big screw up?
Rooster Teeth, they've been solid, but they haven't quite gotten there yet.
Yeah, because
This week they could have, but they didn't.
So because you feel like that Rooster Teeth hasn't hit that plateau where the or hasn't hit that high point where we've seen the Frisbee Bros. I think they have, what, 3 first place finishes through 7 legs?
Yeah.
Okay. So, all right, I can't argue with that. Frisbee is 1, and then Rooster Teeth is 2. And then who would you have as number 3 at this point in the race?
I would say probably Zach and Rachel.
Because I think you could make a case for each of the 4 teams that are left.
You could. It's a tight race at the back.
Because usually at this point, like we say, okay, we have like 3 teams that could win, and then there's like a big drop off, and then there's like 3 other teams.
Yeah, and I still think Tyler and Corey could find their stride again.
Like, yeah.
They're not out of it yet.
They have upside. They have first place upside. It wouldn't Absolutely. Surprise us to go from worst to first going into next week. So then who would you say is number 3 in the power rankings?
I'm still going to put Zach and Rachel because they're kind of like they've done some big screw ups, but they're still here and they're not catastrophically bad. They've not had a week where we're thinking, boy, how are these guys even still here?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Whereas I would say we got to put Sherry and Cole at the end because Sherry and Cole, we have had that week where we're thinking, how are these guys still even here?
Yeah, but they're right there. They're right there also.
They had a great week. I was impressed by them.
Bounce back week for Sherry and Cole. So who would you have as 4? Would you have Tyler and Corey? Would you put them at 4 because of they have the track record? They've done it before?
Yeah, they've past performance.
Okay. Tyler and Corey are 4. And then who would you have I feel like it's unfair to Dana and Matt, right?
Yeah, they do okay, but
they've never been like next to last.
They haven't, but they've also been kind of a hot mess to each other.
Yeah, but I can't have them at 6th in the power rankings when they've never been that close.
Can we make it a 4-way tie for 4th place?
That's a cop-out. I think you have to have Dana and Matt at 5 and Sherry and Cole.
I feel like
at 6.
No matter who I put in there, you're going to say I'm wrong.
Now, have you been talking to Nicole?
Yeah, it seems like you've been talking to Nicole.
Yeah, well, I frequently talk to Nicole. So tell me, what do you want to do? Who do you want to have in the power rankings at number 6?
I think you're probably right. I would say you got to put, I think we got to put Sherry and Cole in the very back.
Yeah. I mean, at least we have a point where Sherry and Cole were teetering on the brink last week. And then Dana and Matt just haven't ever been that close to being eliminated yet.
That's true. We can't put them at the very back.
I feel like that's, I think you could even make a case for Tyler and Corey being, I feel like, last before Dana and Matt, because the Dana and Matt just haven't had that threat of elimination yet.
True. Okay. They haven't. I think they come across as less competent than they are.
Yeah. And they do fight, but they haven't had a big blowout in a couple of weeks.
No, they haven't.
Yeah. I kind of don't really understand who they are as characters when they're not fighting. So I kind of hope that they do get back to fighting soon.
I kind of don't understand who they are as characters in general. They're kind of flying purple. Like
they're the fighting couple. And then when they're not fighting, I have nothing to go off of.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. They need to fight, or why are they even here?
Jess, any other thoughts on this episode before we jump into some questions?
I was excited to see Tbilisi because I think really, unlike last week, we really got a feel for what the place is like.
Mm-hmm.
And these seemed like very good location specific tasks. And the locals seemed really fun, really excited for everybody to be there. Love the architecture. Love that it's kind of half this medieval-looking castle-y stuff and half modern,
Bridges
swooshy,
piece.
Yeah, Calatrava-looking architecture. I love that. It's beautiful. It looks like a great place to hang out. And I've been saying for a few seasons now, like I think maybe 2 or 3 seasons ago, I made like a master list. Like here are all the countries they have never been. Here are the ones they will never go to. Here are the ones that I'm shocked they haven't yet. And Georgia was on that list.
Okay. All right. So Georgia, cross it off the bucket list.
Yeah. Very excited. It was a great, it's one of those places I almost wish they were doing a double leg.
Okay. All right. Now next week, it looks like we are off to Dubai.
Yeah. Which is like, it's like the 3rd or 4th time we've been there.
Okay. Hey, it's always fun to go off to Dubai. All right. So here we go. Let's get into some of these questions, Jess. And why don't we kick it off with Doof Inc., who wants to know, what has been the most preventable mistakes which have cost the team a leg, preferably in a much closer situation like this? Okay. So I guess the preventable mistake was taking the wrong bag. Jess, do you have anything that comes to mind?
I think that's the preventable mistake this week. Like, is this going to be our new like feature? We need to get like Ryan Elder to do a little preventable mistakes song.
Boy, how does the preventable mistake jingle go?
I'm not the jingle writer.
Okay. And so we just come out with the Jessica's preventable mistake.
It's not my preventable mistake.
Whose preventable mistake is it?
I don't make preventable mistakes.
Well, it's your segment, though.
Is it my segment? I think it's our segment.
It's our segment? Well, I defer to you on preventable mistakes.
Yeah, well, you named the one this week already, so.
Okay. Baggate.
Baggate.
Okay. Not to be confused with a delicious baguette, which was up on the French Alps. That's spelled similarly, but different.
And not to be confused with Phil's lunch.
Yes. Adam 555 says, where does hashtag make some candy rank on the creative scale of Amazing Race hashtag? So on the complete other side of the spectrum from choreography is hashtag make some candy. Much, much worse even than last week's breaking bread.
Yeah, it's like sometimes they just pick random words that somebody says and decide to see if they can make them trend.
How much I like to check in sometimes with these things. We used to do this more. How many people do you think use the hashtag make some candy? What are
I'm
some
gonna
of the
say 12?
12 people use the hashtag make some candy tonight. Let's see. No, it looks like that there was definitely some people. Looks like you used it.
I used it because I said make some candy is a lame hashtag.
Yeah, you said when you aren't sure which task will take longer, just go with the one that's more fun. Hashtag Amazing Race. Hashtag PS make some candy is a lame hashtag.
Yeah, that doesn't count.
Yeah. So the top hashtags for make some candy. People said candy time, hashtag make some candy. Also,
wow, that's a Rupert tweet.
Yeah. Also, if you thought the old ladies last week were funny, just wait till this week. Hashtag make some candy.
I mean, are we saying this like we're at an NBA game and you get that guy that's like, make some noise? Are we supposed to be thinking of it that way?
We can. There's maybe like that. A Michael Buffer of NBA games.
I don't know. There's a guy at the Knicks games that always implores people to make some noise, and he does it exactly like that. And I can't tell if it's like sampled from something or what. But
to be fair, that a lot of the make some candy tweets are a lot of like, go Tyler and Corey, amazing every leg of the race, hashtag make some candy. Like there's a lot of like, go Tyler and Corey, and then random hashtag.
Yeah, it's basically people that are primed to use whatever hashtag they're told to use.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. So let's go with Voice of Silence is how did Scott beat Corey in a dance choreography task? And more important, would Rob Sestrino have beaten anyone at this task? Well, let's see. I'm sure that there is somebody that I could have beaten. Maybe.
You could have beaten me.
I don't know. but I think I would have been somewhere along the lines of like the mom from Denise from Mother Boy when she was trying to rap. Like I would have been like somewhere in between me that and when Mark tried to learn the song, the choreography in India with Mark and Bopper. I think that somewhere along the way, maybe Stephen Fishback, like right after his foot surgery this week, I think maybe I could have beaten him. But no, I am. Could not be more uncoordinated.
Is that Fishback with or without the Percocet?
I think Stephen Fishback on Percocet right after surgery. I think that'd be a fair fight.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'll let him know.
I think so. Okay. Adam 555, were there any difficulties in the cleaning side of the detour, or was it both figuratively and literally scraping the bottom of the barrel? Was there any finesse or technique to it?
Well, it looked like a couple of people got it wrong on the first try, but I think that was more like you left a bunch of gunk in there.
Yeah, you didn't clean it enough. I don't think it was sort of like, no, that's not right.
Yeah, I think
clean more.
Yeah, it was really, you know, there's somewhere you get it right or you get it wrong, and there's somewhere you just have to do it for a certain amount of time, and there's somewhere you have to do it to a certain extent.
Mm-hmm. Keep cleaning. Keep cleaning.
And you know that guy is not the judge. You know there's a producer standing right behind him looking in there and saying, okay, yeah, they have to do more or they can go.
Yeah. All right. Voice of Silence wants to know, which detour would you have picked and which one was the better option? They seem pretty equal in effort. Well, Jess is saying take the one which sounds like more fun if it's all things being equal. But it turns out that the cleaning task was a lot easier, cleaning the wine thing.
Yeah, it turned out that one was much easier, but it was harder to find.
Harder to get to.
I think these were pretty even, all things considered.
Yeah. So this is from Dare to Share You. Would the show still keep its ratings if Tyler and Corey got eliminated tonight? I mean, what percentage of the Amazing Race audience is only watching for Tyler and Corey? I mean, I feel like that sort of like the at first blush, it's like, boy, I bet a lot of people. But I don't know if the numbers this season are like significantly higher than they are any other Amazing Race season.
I mean, my impression is it's holding steady.
Yeah, holding steady. So maybe that's what's keeping it afloat.
I did note again, Team Tyler and Corey's yet another trending hashtag, and they had like 12,000 people tweeting that.
Yeah, certainly on social media.
You know, that's more than people were tweeting with Amazing Race. So
yeah, so that's huge numbers in terms of social media. But if like 12,000 additional people are watching the show and tweeting, like, so I just don't know ultimately what, you know, how does that affect the big picture when we're talking about millions of people and millions of numbers?
Yeah, it's like it's not a straight like ratio like they do with the Nielsen ratings. Mm-hmm. You can't tell based on who's tweeting how many people are watching.
Yeah, but I do think that then probably in terms of selling ads and stuff like that, like where you go in and say like, you know, if the ratings are exactly the same, but you say like, oh, well, the Amazing Race is a trending topic every night that it's on. It's like, okay, well, definitely, you know, I'd want to advertise on that show more so than, you know, whatever else is on Friday nights at 8 o'clock.
Yeah, I mean, given that it's harder and harder to track ratings because there's so many different ways that people watch the shows, mm-hmm. there's so many different metrics you have to look at, and I think this is just a way to kind of give us a boost in one particular metric.
Yeah, okay, let's keep going. More questions with Jess. Gregory McBean wants to know, is Scott allowed to take the bag? Jess, what do you think? Is Scott allowed to take the bag?
Well, no, he's not allowed to take the bag. That's why he brought the bag back and apologized. If he hadn't done anything wrong, he would just keep running with the bag.
Okay, but did Tyler's reaction remind you of Abby Maria when she lost her bracelet? Did you think that Tyler was going to tell people that they were dead to him?
With me, you're dead.
You know, he could have.
Yeah.
I'd love to see it.
Do you think
I think Tyler's a little more mellow than that, but
was that Tyler's lucky bag that he couldn't have competed on the race without it? His lucky bag?
You know, it looked like he bought it new for this, but what do I know?
Yeah, it was lucky in that it contained his passport and his money.
Didn't seem like it was all that lucky for him last week or this week.
Yeah. Well, it's luckier than Scott and Blair's bag.
Guess so.
Yeah. Okay. Also, Gregory wants to know, are there any teams that you don't think can win the whole thing? Is there anybody that you would say is DOA right now, Jess?
Well, I think anybody here has at least enough like Beekman upside that they mm-hmm. can pull out a long shot win.
Beekman equity.
Yes, Beekman equity. But, you know, there are teams that look like they are more capable than others for sure.
Yeah. I feel like if you were going to say one team, I feel like the Sherry and Cole, it seems like they just haven't done it yet. But, you know, it's hard to say anybody is in a can't win scenario on the Amazing Race.
Yeah. Yeah. Nobody is in a can't win scenario. Anybody could win.
Anybody can win. Okay. This is from Chris D, who says, U-turn soon. What do you think, Jess?
Yeah, you got to have a U-turn probably next week or the week after, because once you get down to few enough people, it's not interesting to have a U-turn.
Yeah. Also, that last week we saw that the Frisbee Bros picked up the fast forward and they had 3 weeks to use it. It did not even get mentioned on the show tonight. So only two legs left to use that.
Yeah, that's a lot of legs.
Yeah.
So that's as many legs as everybody has.
Not everybody.
Almost everybody.
Almost everybody. Okay, then let's take another question from Becca, who wants to know, did Blair do any roadblocks on the race? It seemed like she told her dad to do everything.
Wikipedia says Blair did 3 roadblocks, and I know she did the one where they had to pull the emerald out of the mud volcano.
Yeah, okay.
So at least that one.
Also, Sydney says, Tyler and Corey made it by the skin of their teeth 2 weeks in a row. Do you think that they should have won tonight?
No.
Come on, why not?
Because they were in sixth place.
But don't you think that they should have won?
They are the winners of our hearts. Is that enough?
Yeah. Come on. Yeah, you're being so cynical, Jess.
Yeah, well, that's what watching this show for 15 years will do to you.
Come on. They should have won. Stop. Mr. Aristotle wants to know, best episode of the season yet? In fact, one of the best episodes in recent seasons. That foot race was insane.
Jess? Yeah, I gotta say, it was more exciting.
Yeah. I don't know if this was one of the best episodes of Misery. I thought like the last act was strong from Bad Gate on. Not Bad Gat.
Yeah. I thought it was great.
Exciting race to the finish.
Yeah. I mean, you know, for previously.tv, where I also cover the show, I have to rate things like watch or skip. And mm-hmm. this one, I'm definitely rating watch.
Yeah. I do feel like this might have been like sort of like an NBA game of Amazing Race episodes where you could have come in at like, 48 minutes into it and just, you know, caught from the last commercial break on. And I think that was really where the meat of the episode was.
Yeah, but then you miss all the nut dipping.
Sure. Yeah, so I guess, come for the ending, stay for the nut dipping.
We got a little bit of time until we can dip our nuts.
Yeah, the last 10 minutes. All right.
Keep that one on the board.
Ampernam wants to know, am I in the minority that wants Tyler and Corey to be eliminated? Sounds like it.
Rob, didn't you just say you thought they should have won even though they came in sixth place?
I read a tweet that said, don't you think they should have won? And I said, why not?
Because they came in sixth place.
Sydney wants to know, based on your power predictions, who do you really believe is going to win this season? Okay. Jess, do you have a prediction on who will really win the season?
I think it's going to be Tyler and Corey. I think they're going to pull it out.
I'll say Rooster Teeth just to keep it interesting.
You think they got the news anchor upside?
Yeah, I think so. I feel like that they've just been steady, and then we'll see where it goes.
All right. Fair enough.
Okay. Derek wants to, did Rob spell the country name wrong again? Jess, I have on the board behind me, Georgia. I spelt it like the state.
That is how it's spelled.
G-E-O-R-G-I-A.
Is there another way to spell it?
I don't think so.
I did see, like, I've seen people spell Tbilisi wrong a lot, but.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Last question. Let's go to the original Donald wants to know, would Scott and Blair have been hashtag eliminated by a penalty if they beat out Tyler and Corey? And the answer is, of course, what, Jess?
The answer is yes, they would have.
Yes, that's right. You'd be eliminated. All right. So, Jess, what's the hashtag tonight?
I think the hashtag is going to be either Baggate or dip our nuts.
Not bag yet?
Baggate, not baguette, is a little bit long.
Yeah. I didn't get to play the clip of this was when they Sherry and Cole got to the mat.
You weren't looking for a beautiful man.
Yeah. But you know, Phil sort of like looking for the fishing for compliments, right?
Phil's just frustrated because he spent an entire season trying to get people to hook up and nobody did. And then they
but
hook
that
up
was
on
like
their
2 years ago in real time. Yeah.
Yeah. He's bitter about this and he feels like he needs a little more validation from the teams.
Bloaty was going out at that point.
Yeah. Yeah. And he's like, but I didn't do anything. I didn't make this happen.
Yeah. All right. Well, maybe in a future season that, you know, there will be more and more hookups on the Amazing Race for Phil. All right. Jess, great job tonight.
Yes, you as well.
Excellent
Rob.
Work as usual. And now next Friday, I am not going to be here. I am going to be the best man in a wedding next Friday night. How about that, Jess?
Well, I did see that coming because you told me this like a month ago.
Yes. Okay. Well, next Friday night, I am going to be in New York and I'm going to be the best man in my sister-in-law's wedding. And so this is very exciting. And so what is going to go on in my stead, Jess?
Well, I'm bringing the keg and I invited the whole senior class.
Wait, I said no parties next. Well, while I'm gone.
Oh, did I say that? I meant we were going to do homework.
Okay. Well, that sounds more like
a small study group over, and the study group is going to be me and Mike Bloom and Dan Heaton.
Okay. Those seem like nice, upstanding guys.
They are. They're really good influences. They come from good homes.
Okay.
And we're going to talk about the Amazing Race while you're not here.
Okay. That sounds good.
We've been waiting to dip our nuts for seven legs.
No nut dipping while I'm gone.
I'll pass it along.
Okay.
So what is our hashtag? Did we decide?
Bummer.
Yeah. what do you pick, Jess?
I pick dip our nuts.
Dip our nuts.
That's
fine.
Why you don't usually
I feel like now you have a complex like Nicole that I'm going to shoot down your hashtags.
Well, good. Then I've done my job here.
You're trying to guilt me into giving you what you want.
I'm getting my way.
Yeah.
Tell Nicole, thank you.
Yeah. All right. Well, Jess, great job once again. That I know you guys are going to knock it out of the park next week on episode number 8 of The Amazing Race. I will be back with an Amazing Race exit interview early next week when we talk with Scott and Blair. I want to hear about Scott and if he got a lot more Twitter followers.
Yeah, I loved seeing him be an old man on Twitter. It was very fun.
So we'll check in with that. We'll check find out about what's going on. Does Scott approve of Bloaty? What's his take on that?
Do we think Bloaty is still a thing?
Yeah. So we'll find out all that and much, much more on our Amazing Race exit interview coming up next week, and much, much more. Lots of Survivor interviews this past week. Chaos Cast, voicemails with Akiva Whitaker, all good stuff. Getting ready for the live know-it-alls in New York City next Wednesday night. Jesse, you excited for that?
I'm so excited. We're going to hang out.
Yeah. So I will see you in person when I'm there for the big show. And thanks so much to those of you guys who watch us live every week. We greatly appreciate that. All you people in the chat room having fun during the live show. And we love to read your comments as well on robinswebsite.com. Jess, anything else?
Nothing else.
You could follow the great Jessica Lease on social media. She is at Haymaker Hattie. I'm at Rob Sestrino. We'll talk to you guys again soon. Take care, everybody. Bye.